When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
So, Ruben, a lot has been kicked around this season, and perhaps nobody has been kicked around more than Nick Sirianni. Where do you stand with the Eagles head coach? I was struck yesterday when we had a show open-ended about Sirianni. There were very few anti-Sirianni calls. I believe we had only one. 5 weeks ago, 95% of calls would have been anti. What do you think of Nick Sirianni as the Eagles head coach?
Well, he does a lot of things really, really well, and his ability to build a culture that players want to buy into is a really powerful thing, and it's why this team, 41-19 over 4 years, you can't argue with that. And I think where he gets into trouble is when he gets out of his lane, when he starts meddling in play calling. He's not good at that. Doesn't have a good feel for it. I think he's good at almost everything else. And it's shown up. And he's been smart enough to give up play calling. He did that halfway through his first year. But when he meddles, he gets his team into trouble. So I think he's got a lot of strengths and his ability to communicate, his connection with the players and understanding if they need to go harder practice. Practices, lighter practices. He knows exactly how to handle them. They respect him because of that, because he listens to them and he's engaged with them. I think there's a lot to like about him. I mean, you know, he's going to be the sixth coach in history, in NFL history, to make the playoffs his first 4 years. Wow. Doesn't happen. That just doesn't happen.
Sixth coach ever?
Sixth coach ever.
And he took over a team that went 4-11-1.
A team that was
and
a mess.
Traded their quarterback.
A team that was a mess. In 2020. So there's a lot to like about him. And I think the conversation is going to go from, is he going to get fired, to when's he getting a contract extension?
It's wild.
Wow.
Ruben, what about the what I call antics? We can call it personality, antics, theatrics, whatever. So it struck me that since he was called out by many for having his kids at the podium, it certainly appears he's trying to dial it back. Do you notice that, and how sustainable do you think that will be given his natural instincts?
Yeah, I don't think it'll ever entirely go away. It's just who he is. But he also knows that it can get him in trouble. And the thing is, the players don't care. I mean, they don't care what he does. It's irrelevant to them. And as long as that's the case, then it really doesn't matter, yelling at the fans or having his kids up there. I think those things are things that fans notice and have strong opinions about. But players, I mean, I'm in the locker room every day. The players love this guy. They love his passion. They love his energy. They love his personality. It's one of the reasons they keep winning. So, I mean, I think he is who he is. I think there's going to be moments where he does things that are going to give you a lot to talk about the next morning.
Sure, sure. How does this Rams team compared to the Commanders team?
They're better, and they're playing better. And, you know, those two receivers, I mean,
the Rams team is better
right now. I mean, they're playing. I think Washington's trending downward.
Yeah. And, well, the Rams lost to Miami a week ago.
They did. They did.
But Miami's pretty good.
They're getting guys back. The Rams have Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp both back. It's going to be a big challenge for the secondary, which has been incredible so far. And, you know, when you go on the West Coast, it's always it's a long trip. It's a tough game. Mm-hmm. I think that if they can shut down those two receivers, I mean, I think these corners are for real. We know that. But this will be the biggest challenge they face because they have two really good guys. So I think it's going to be a fun game. And I think they're going to win this game. The two that I'm fascinated by are the Ravens and Steelers.
Totally.
If you could split those two games, you're in really good. Yeah, the Panthers coming up. You got the Giants again.
You're kind of selling us short, saying if you can split those two games against the Ravens.
I'm saying
and the
if.
Steelers.
I mean, you'll take.
I mean, I really.
Not gonna,
if they split those two games and they win it, the Rams, they're probably going 14-3 or 13-4 or something.
13-4 probably won't get you the number one seed unless the Lions lose a game that they probably shouldn't lose. But that's possible.
Do the Lions have the inside track for the tiebreaker or do the Eagles?
So this game is actually huge for that. The Eagles, if they lose to the Rams because of common opponents, they need the Lions to – they can't win it at 14-3. If they win this game, it can still play out where if both teams are 14-3, they can get the tiebreaker. Huh. But the Rams game – so what has to happen is we need Detroit to lose to Green Bay. Because of a common opponent thing, too. That's another big
gotcha.
So this game is big and that game is big.
All right, so a lot on the table here today as we broadcast from Chickies and Pete's. Reminder, it's never too early to book that holiday party. You know, tis the season. Next week is Thanksgiving and Christmas and Hanukkah all coming up soon as well. Book now for all the party availabilities from November through January at Chickies and Pete's. All the different locations. We're at the South Philly Chickies and Pete's today. But get a party upgrade with Chickies and Pete's. Details online at chickiesandpetes.com. Let's talk to Rick in Easton this morning. Reminder, Merrill Reese joins us here at Chickies in an hour. Good morning, Rick.
Whoever thought after that Tampa Bay playoff loss yesterday that in week 12 we'd be talking about this?
Yeah, last year. Yeah, no, I hear you, man. It's a great rebound, Rick. They other than
even
that,
after week four, like after Tampa Bay this season, who'd have thought we'd be here?
I know.
Right now?
And that's why I think culture that Nick has brought in is so big, because a big narrative coming into the season was how are they going to respond to the collapse last year, and here we are, 8-2.
Yep,
could not agree more, Ruben. You know, who would have thought that this 8-2 record is they're playing a lot better than they did when they were 10-1 last year.
Yeah,
anyway,
no doubt.
3 and 4 years ago, the Georgia Bulldogs and the Alabama Crimson Tide were arguably way ahead of the rest of the pack for the top two teams in the country. We got players like Carter, Nolan Smith, Dean, and Jordan Davis. I know still have to turn the corner.
He's playing okay.
But you also have Dickerson, Devontae Smith, Jalen Hurts. Everybody loves to attach him to Oklahoma. Let's not forget, he was at Bama for 3 years. Yes,
totally.
He had to do a thing. But you know what? Jalen Hurts didn't do what I saw a lot of players and officials do when they get downgraded. He never pouted. He stayed professional when they replaced him with Tua. You add.
By the way, same talent, thing when he entered the NFL as a backup, Rick. He handled it really well being Carson's backup.
Did.
That was
and
admirable.
You add that Bulldog defense with Mitchell and DeJean, arguably the top two corners and D-backs in college football, with the linebacker play. If this team can start to increase the takeaways, which we sorely missed the last year and a half, and flipping the field for this offense, the sky is the limit. Isn't it interesting, all of a sudden, we're one game behind Kansas City, and we're right there with Detroit. So I'm thinking, as this defense continues to get better under Fangio, I'm telling you, this team could be a tough out for anybody.
Well, they could be, Rick. The one caveat is if we are to take the Eagles 8-2 as a normal 8-2, and I'm not sure it is. They have beaten a lot of garbage teams.
But there's just garbage teams.
I understand
that. Like, the
vast
majority of teams in the NFL right now are not
that
good.
I understand.
You know?
Rick, here's an element of this season that I do still worry about, and I wonder how much people have thought about. Who are the one or two NFC teams that haven't yet shown their goodness or greatness that still can? Green Bay made a tremendous jump last year in the season. They still worry me.
Niners on the fringes.
The Niners on the fringes.
Like, there's those kind of teams. But when you look
at the Rams.
I agree with that. But right now, I mean, the Eagles are two games up on the three seed.
It's
the Eagles and Lions above right now.
There's no question about
that. And they have that head-to-head over the Packers, which could come in handy.
Huge.
Let me answer that question. Great point with this. We were saying 5-6 weeks ago, as we were playing weak teams, how about the Eagles? Aren't they a team you want on your schedule? Because they're weak and unorganized. Guess what? Teams aren't saying that anymore.
No, I think they've got concern on the birds. Rick, give me an answer here. What was wild in sports?
Since my earthquake was taken, my spinoff answer was in 1972, the Munich Olympics, when the Israeli team was taken hostage at the Olympics.
It was. Yeah, James, I need a ruling here.
I think that's crossed over into the dark variety.
We did say we were trying to avoid
the show. Yeah, like we're trying to avoid the like Ray Carruth type things. Like, yeah, that was crazy. Yeah. That was horrible. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm going to throw out Cal Stanford out there.
That's a great answer.
That could have won.
That's a massive answer. Exactly what we're looking for.
I still watch that video and it just blows my mind.
Yeah, that could have won.
Me too.
John, that was the final play of whose college football career?
John Elway.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
Final play.
Wild.
Or did he go to a bowl game? I think it was the final play of his career.
I thought it was the final play.
I think they might have missed a bowl game that year because their record wasn't good enough because of that play.
I think Ron Rivera was on the field for that play.
Wow. Yeah.
Did he run someone over?
Probably.
Did he get run over?
Well, probably tried.
That's
sure
pretty did. Wild for Elway, though. So
he nailed a couple trombone players.
He ends his college career with that game and then ends his pro career winning the Super Bowl. That's a pretty...
That is wild.
Yeah, right?
You know what's another pretty wild? Desperate. James, do you know that his dad coached against him when he was in college football?
No, I didn't know
and
that.
It was a very tough spot
Jack
for the...
Jack or something?
Jack,
right?
Elway.
Jack Elway.
So, you know, part of his...
San Jose State versus...
It was one of those schools. Yeah. And part of Jack Elway's thing is, like, go get the quarterback.
Wow.
And like, the quarterback was his son, who was also being groomed to be the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah, that's wild.
So that was, like, a wild dynamic.
Mom's thoughts were on that.
And then my son alone.
Yes.
And here's where it got even messier years later when Jack Elway became Stanford's coach, and then they fired him. John Elway then had a very contentious relationship with Stanford for years because they had fired his dad. 215-592-9494. All right, up ahead, more from Shams, what he said yesterday, plus Mike Quick. At 8:45 today, and a lot more with Ruben here, including a big-picture question about this Eagles season. We'll get to that as we broadcast from Chickies and Pete's. Please join us. We're at the Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. Great to be with you. Birds at the half. Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP.